A meeting to order. Roll call.
Could you say the date?
I'm sorry, the March 7th Bucksport Planning Board meeting. What's that? Yes, please.
All right, Mary Jane Bush, here. Brian McDonald.
Here.
David Grant.
Present.
Fitz absent. Ed Belcher.
Here.
George Hanson.
Here.
Christopher Johnson.
Here.
Everybody had a chance to review the minutes?
Yes.
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 Very good minutes as always.
Yes. Mr. Chairman, I make a motion that we accept the minutes as written.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor? I obviously don't have any report. Code enforcement officer's report?
Just a couple things to report on. I received an email from Mary Jane Bush this morning. She's resigning from the planning board effective immediately. We'll start advertising for her replacement tomorrow. We'll post a notice on the board. We'll get an advertisement in the paper and see if we can fill this position quickly. I also have, I've been asked to, I don't recall ever doing this before, but the office staff wants you all to review this document, sign it, and return the signed form stating that you reviewed the form. This is for the sexual harassment policy. Apparently, you're considered sometimes an employee. Paid for these meetings, so
sexually harassed.
Okay. So they just need this first page, correct?
Yes, they need to put your name, sign it, return it to the office. Or if you want to do it tonight, you can leave with me and I can hand them in. Well, that's all I have, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Limited public forum. It's an opportunity for the public to address the board on matters related to land use or planning in the town of Bucksport, not concerning anything in front of the board tonight. Does anyone wish to speak?
I would.
Okay.
First of all, the bridge over here.
Could you tell everybody who you are? And
Jim Morrison. I live out in Huey Town, East Bucksport. One of the things that I wanted about is the bridge, and they're putting a railing on that bridge over there. I don't know that it's something that the planning board is going to have anything to say about, but I think that probably it should be brought up in a public forum so that maybe somebody or anybody that has anything to do with it can go knock on the door of the state and see if possibly, you know, I mean, one of our big attractions is our riverfront down here. I, for one, don't feel real comfortable about standing there and marveling over the bridge, because who's going to be the one that witnesses the next guy jump off the damn thing, you know? I just think it's as nice as the bridge is over there, if it's going to attract people from southern Maine to come up here, and we're going to be sitting here looking at it day in and day out, maybe we ought to have something to say to the state about getting it taken care of. And let's see. That's just my opinion on that. Now, does this board have anything to do with the amount of land that the town owns? How many lots does the town own? How much? This isn't something that you...
I don't think we control that. No.
Okay. In the plan for Bucksport, is there anything in the plan about the improvement of the roads in the town?
Talk about comprehensive plan?
Excuse me?
Comprehensive,
yes,
plan.
Yes, I guess, yeah.
Thank you.
Is there something that people discuss and bring in front of the committee?
It was addressed there in the comprehensive plan, but I don't know that there's a... We don't direct the public works on what to do and when to do it. But.
No, and you're right. And there is One of the concerns we had, and this doesn't directly address what you're talking about, Jim, was the issue of the sidewalks and the condition, and the fact that we didn't have a sidewalk management plan.
Mm-hmm.
But it was my understanding during that discussion came up, was there a road management plan, a road improvement, a road management plan on a, you know, something that the Director of Public Works would manage. And I can't say that there was an answer on that that's in writing that you can look at, but at the time, it was with the previous Public Works Administrator, there was a ongoing plan or rotation or repair, maybe not improved, but I'm just giving you information that I have, mm-hmm. that I'm not saying, yes, there is. I'm just telling you where we what we found out. So it is a good question, but it might be something that you might take up with the town manager first and ask her if she knows, is aware of any improvement plan. There is, the only other thing I can tell you that I know of, and it doesn't, again, address your, is there is the right-of-way information. It's quite dated and kind of choppy on the different roads. That's the only other information that I've seen as it relates to roads and in this town. As far as a written plan goes, I've not seen one. As far as an improvement plan goes, I'm not sure that the comprehensive plan discussed that, to be honest with you. I'll put it in there.
Is it, do you feel that possibly it should be something that the comprehensive plan should have in a concrete way? I mean, if we're going to be paying our taxes and you people are trying to make a plan for how the town's going to be in the future, I would think that the condition of the roads would be a serious subject for you to be trying to address with this.
Please.
I can't say exactly what the comprehensive plan says about road maintenance, but I'm pretty certain it's addressed in there in some manner. The draft comprehensive plan is available on our town's website. If you wanted to go in there and look at it for yourself, you might be able to see.
I would like to.
There's a link right on the homepage for it.
I was on the Street and Road Committee, and yes, each year we had a written program of areas to be upgraded and where the surfacings were going to be done, where you were going to actually do ditching and new road grades and gravel, mm-hmm. and stuff. And that was usually annually, mm-hmm. and it was produced by the Highway Department superintendent. And we would have a list of projects for any particular calendar year, like that's ongoing. They do it every year anyways.
But when was the last time that you remember that happening?
2 years ago.
2 years ago.
I was at a town meeting, and the previous director of Public Works stood up, and they asked him what level of condition will our roads be in at the end of the construction season. And I can't remember if it was last year or the year before, just prior to him leaving, or the year before. And he said that after everything was done, that they had scheduled on there, 60% of the roads still would be subpar. That was his words, 60% of our roads.
Well.
And nothing, as far as I can see, nothing was done on the outlying roads after that statement was made. Now they've gone another 4 years, and if you have to travel them, you're going to see that it's...
Oh, I travel.
Serious condition. Not just because of the weather, because of the lack of maintenance on the roads. And I thought maybe the planning board probably ought to address getting that into a plan of what you want to see Bucksport be. I mean, having cow paths or roads out through here really doesn't...
A tremendous amount of that comes into the annual budget. Mm-hmm. You can't take 60% of 47 miles of road and do it all in any one season. You haven't got enough money, mm-hmm. period. So you have to always be working on the worst pieces that you've got and then maintaining in some order of a continual maintenance program too.
Well, I watched the road in front of my house being worked on for nearly a month, 2 years ago, and they managed to make it about twice as bad as it was when they got done with it. It was about twice as bad as it was before they started. So, I mean, saying that, putting money, you know, you can't throw money at every problem. There's got to be correct and proper maintenance done to start with. It's not a matter of how much money. It's a matter of doing it right the first time, you know?
True.
You leave my house and head up to Brewer. When you get to the Bucksport Orienton line, you can open her up and go, because the roads up there have all been done right, and there's no problems with them. It's like day and night. Coming down, when you come back out of Orienton, if you're traveling their speed up there, when you hit that first crown coming down through there, I took out a tire, blew it, just took the belts right out of it. But anyway, if that's not your thing. Let's see, what else did I have? I guess from what I'm finding out, the best thing for me to do is wait till the next meeting and after I've reviewed what the people do.
Jim? Mr. Chair, can I speak with Jim? A couple of things. The bridge situation. I think I understand what you're saying, and I think there's a potential for that with each one of these towns around here taking an active role with the main Department of Transportation, because I assume they're the ones that would have to do that from what I've read. And I'm not sure the planning board here would be the one at first to officially get involved in that. Certainly there are enough groups around. I don't know if you're staying for the rest of the meeting or if you're heading home now.
Yeah, I want to see what goes on.
Okay. After the meeting, I'll sit down. If you got a minute, I'd like to sit down with you and talk about that. As the other thing, what was the other? The bridge, and as far as the roads go.
The amount of land that we own.
Well, the amount of land that we own, I think, usually because of the tax situation. If somebody doesn't pay their taxes, we I don't know that we've gone out and bought any lands that I'm aware of. I think we just sold some land up on Orchid Mountain, or we were about to. I'm not sure if that went through or not.
They take it in auction.
Well,
yeah, they try not to have to manage it. It's like anybody, you take it, you got to manage it. But as far as I know, there's no plan to go out and grab more land or anything.
Mm-hmm.
The road situation, again, the website. Check the website out first. But I'd like, if you're going to be around, I'd like to catch up with you afterwards and just run a couple of things by you.
I wouldn't want to think that I had my grandchildren walking along during the Bay Festival, which, if the Bay Festival is advertised all over the state and everything and everybody, who's to say somebody's not going to come up and say, best time to jump off the bridge is when there's a whole bunch of people standing there watching from the Bay Festival, you know? I mean, it might be a far-fetched idea, but I don't think it's that far-fetched.
You can't prevent everything, but, you know, I think the effort here is to try and discourage people from doing it to begin with. I think that's what this whole fence thing is theoretically about.
Sure.
That's what their goal is.
No,
but
no question.
But if you can wait, I'd like to sit down and talk with you a couple things, if you don't mind. Thanks.
Thank you for your time.
Sure. Anybody else? Okay, limited public forum is closed. Unfinished business? None. New business? None. Administrative business?
So we have four items under administrative business. The first one deals with retail marijuana establishments and social clubs, which is a continuation of the discussion that started at the last time we met, a couple of meetings ago. I gave you a handout at that meeting. Do you have that handout?
I've got it, but I don't have it out right now.
It was a copy of the actual state law. And I'm not sure if I gave you this handout, but the reason why this is being brought to the planning board is because the activities that are recognized in that new law are land uses. And at some point, this town has got to decide, first of all, if they want these land uses in Bucksport, and if so, where, and what additional regulations do we think would be needed if we are going to allow these land uses. So you guys are involved in land uses, or you're involved in any change to our land use ordinance. So my request to this board is to, at some point in time, make a recommendation to the town council on whether or not you want these uses allowed, and if so, where. In terms of regulations, the state is still working themselves on clarifying the regulations in the law. There's a lot of work that needs to be done to that to bring clarity to it. But there's nothing in the law that prevents towns from coming up with their own regulations if they think this is a use they want to have in this town. As you may recall, our land use ordinance does recognize medical marijuana, both dispensaries and growing facilities. We allow them in a very small part of town. I think if the law had provided a complete outright ban, this town probably would have done that, but this is a use that you can't outright ban. It has to be allowed in some manner or fashion in the town.
Question, if that once again, doing rentals and that sort of thing, people that have medical marijuana permission, or they can use it as prescribed, if they smoke it, it goes to the whole house. And you just can't have it. We have no smoking policy. But, you know, somebody could say, well, it's medical marijuana, and that's a it's okay for me to smoke it. And so what do you do? I mean, that's going to be an issue that, you can say no smoking, but then again, now I don't want to have to fight this battle. You know? I'm just one little guy.
Do we have a zone that where, you know, bars and nightclubs are restricted to? You know, now with serving alcohol?
Well, they're allowed in commercial districts. Not residential. The village district, you didn't have that. But, you know, along Route 1, Main Street, those are areas where you can't have bars and taverns.
I know towns that didn't want to have adult entertainment zoned it where it was only allowed in a certain area that, you know, it was either impractical or almost impossible to do. So I don't know if that's something you would want to do.
There actually there are five individual land uses that are recognized in this law. Four of them are grouped together under one label called retail marijuana establishment. But the four that are collectively called that include manufacturing facilities, stores, testing facilities, and cultivation facilities. So it's a cultivation facility, a place where marijuana is grown and processed and packaged for delivery to a manufacturing facility where marijuana products are made. And then the retail store is where these products are sold. And there's also a testing facility. That's another land use where marijuana is tested and graded, I presume, depending on the chemical content in the plant. And then there's another classification outside that group, the establishment group, is called retail marijuana social clubs. And that's a place where essentially people gather to purchase and smoke marijuana or consume it in some form. It has to include the selling of marijuana, though. So if you had a gathering of people that was, you know, whatever reason they decided to get together to
bring their own
to use marijuana, that doesn't fall under that regulation. There's no sales involved. So as I understand it, that's not a licensed activity.
Just getting together and smoking?
Yeah. I don't think that's addressed in this law.
Yeah.
And as you know, it is legal now in the state of Maine, under Maine law, to consume marijuana in a private residence. So
now the retail space is That's what it's limited to. It's limited to retail.
It's where somebody would go into and buy products containing marijuana.
That particular land use is limited to that one purpose.
Right.
The other three or four actually could all be in one building, like building, testing, production, cultivation, actually.
Unless the state comes up with regulations that dictate otherwise.
Yeah. But I don't see the two or more of those couldn't be combined in one building, you know. So that doesn't mean there has to be. Yeah, there could be four different applicants, or maybe only a couple with multiple uses. But the gathering place for socializing, that has to have sales along with it?
To be subject to licensing, yes, a retail marijuana social club involves the selling and purchasing of marijuana.
Okay, I found. Yes. Yeah.
There's nothing at this point that, for instance, prohibits the smoking of marijuana where alcohol is served. Is that any attempt to separate that? I haven't heard anything of that nature.
I haven't either. I don't know if that's coming or not.
I think you can drink and not impact somebody, well, other than maybe, you know, being a nuisance. Your personal drinking doesn't really impact another person, but smoking marijuana, I'm assuming it's like smoking cigarettes, it can affect a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Secondhand smoke, so I can see some difference there.
Yeah,
I mean, similarity, but difference.
Yeah. Right now, I don't believe you can go to a local nightclub bar, alcohol bar, and smoke. I don't believe.
Well, I can't do that legally now.
No.
Right.
No, there's no smoking of any kind. It's not. It doesn't designate.
Not even cigarettes.
It says no smoking. That's the law.
And it says here in the law that at these retail marijuana social clubs, they cannot sell or give away cigarettes or alcohol. Mm-hmm. So you couldn't. It's not, that to me means you can't combine that with. Mm-hmm. You can't make Ramona's a bar and a
one night of
marijuana.
One night alcohol and the other night.
Yeah.
Could be a scheduling event.
So what? Where do we go next?
Well, as I said, at some point, I'd like this board to reach a recommendation on whether or not these activities should be allowed in Westport, and that could be forwarded on to the town council.
Well, from a zoning standpoint, we can't really state whether or not it's allowed as a planning board, can we?
This law does allow municipalities to completely ban these uses in their town.
Hmm. Yeah.
At the moment, we don't have a retail location for medical.
We do not. No dispensary or growing facilities are permitted.
All right. You can't deny him.
Well,
medical marijuana. You said you can't deny it. So,
well, no,
but nobody. Nobody is doing it.
What I said is, it's a land use state. You can't do an outright ban on in your land use or zoning ordinances. But if an applicant came to you for a permit to operate a facility, they would need to meet the standards, just like any other land use.
Correct.
And if they fail to meet those standards, you can deny that application.
Oh, true. I'm not saying that.
But what you're saying is there's nothing, no one's come to you for permits as of yet.
For what?
For medical marijuana or cultivation.
No. But not even discussions.
Even if they did, we don't have any standards to review it. by at this point.
Well, medical marijuana we do, but yeah.
When the moratorium was put on the legalization in Bucksport, when they put the moratorium on, they said any permits or applications would not be accepted until the moratorium was over. But anybody that had applied prior to that, their application would be still active. I believe that's how that Mr. Keene said.
So that you mentioned the same thing last month. At some point, we need to discuss this.
And it doesn't need to be tonight.
Do we schedule something, or do we just every month do we say at some point we need to discuss this? I don't. It sounds like we could get to the point where it just seems like we just keep pushing it ahead.
What this board certainly can do is schedule a public hearing and take public comment on this.
Sure. I'm kind of going on the fact this is nowhere near final. The actual law, what we got here is just a draft. This is not valid at all now. There's nothing here in this that is final at all. So we don't know how many months the legislature is going to take to actually finalize this marijuana law.
They've given themselves until February of 2018 to get their act together.
But do 11 months.
We want to be before it or after it?
Oh, I think we should have an opinion before.
Yeah.
But I think the law itself will bring a lot more clarity, too. Hopefully.
Well, I think what the state is doing is they're hashing up the details regarding how they regulate licensing of these facilities.
I'm sure they're going around to Colorado, Washington,
right now,
and the other states to see how they're doing.
This law requires the state to submit any application they receive to towns for review approval. It's not clear in the law how that review or who does that review.
Right.
So that needs to be clarified in the law. But if this board ends up recommending to ban these uses outright in our land use ordinance, then it doesn't really matter what the state does.
Sure.
The regulations. You've made your decision. And you move forward from that.
This town does not allow fireworks. They banned that, right?
That's correct. Okay. Consumer fireworks. Yes.
And this could be the same. Could. We could do the same thing here.
That's right. This law does allow a complete ban of these uses.
It doesn't affect the rights for medical marijuana or personal use.
They would not be impacted at all, right, by this law. At least for now, anyway, unless the state does something different with that.
Right, yeah.
If we were to allow the cultivating of marijuana or, a factory or something like that produces it, that business wouldn't be taxed any different than any other business. I mean, it doesn't. I guess I'm just thinking of a way of the town benefiting from the sale or the production or whatever you want to call it of marijuana. I mean, I guess I don't. Personally, I don't use it. Never have, but I don't. I'm having a hard time separating it from alcohol use. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not so sure that it's any different from what I've been able to read. Maybe it's actually has benefits that alcohol doesn't, such as in medical situations. I don't know. I guess alcohol can be in a medical situation. If you've got a cough, you can use it for disinfecting, but I'm not quite sure drinking it is.
I've heard people swear by red wine, so.
Well, this is true. I don't think, personally, I'm at any point right now in time where I could make a definitive decision on whether or not I would say yay or nay to it in some way or fashion. I guess I'd have to spend more time.
I can't either.
I'd have to spend more time studying it a little bit, understanding it.
Yeah, there would be a difference between cultivation and manufacturing. Where does the state step in and get their taxes? Like, at what point do they get their taxes from cigarettes or alcohol or anything?
You got to know that the state's going to get a piece of it somehow.
It's right in here. It's, you know, the person or the entity that's licensed will collect sales tax. So
sales tax, yeah. 5.5%, but.
And if, I guess, a cultivation site would be the same. It's also in here that you can transfer from a licensed cultivation site to a social club, so that must be a sale of some sort. You know, like you're buying it wholesale, I guess, like you would from a beer distributor. But
however, on the medical marijuana issue that is allowed, how are people obtaining that? Is it, do you have to manufacture that yourself, or? Is there a way of purchasing it?
If you're a caregiver, if you needed it, I could actually, if I had a permit or a license to be a caregiver, I would be allowed to grow so many plants per patient. And there's a limit on the different size plants. You know, so many, I believe I'd have to be able to provide you with 2 ounces a week. And I could have numerous different size plants per patient to provide that amount to everybody. But I've known people to do it right in the middle of Bangor and Brewer in their yards.
But they have to be licensed, I'm assuming.
It's a permit or a license.
It's a medical permit.
Yeah.
It's a doctor's prescription, basically.
Well, for the use of it, but I mean for the production of it for their use.
There is a,
once the patient has the prescription, you can.
There is a caregiver's permit or license granted by the state, and it's an odd situation. I think you need a patient before the state will give you the caregiver's license. So. But how do you get the patient without the caregiver's license? So it's like chicken and egg.
There could be people already in town that are producing marijuana for medicinal purposes.
There could be, yeah.
Yes, there are.
Under, what's this one? General population use, you're limited to 6 plants?
I don't know. I don't.
Per user?
I don't partake, so I didn't read it. So, you know, that detail yet.
I just read that today. I can tell you exactly what they're allowed. You are allowed 2.5 ounces of processed marijuana. You are allowed 6 mature plants, which are ready to be harvested. You are allowed an additional 12 plants, which are not matured yet. And you're allowed as many seedlings as you want to put in the ground or into the area that you're growing. Your cultivation has to be not accessible by anybody, especially minors under the age of 21. And it you can possess, like I said, 2.5 ounces. You are allowed to give away as much as 2.5 ounces to your friends or whoever you want to give it away to. and receive nothing for it. You can't receive any compensation for it, or it's like 5 years for that much. But as far as the cultivation of the goat, 6 plants, 12 plants immature, and in other words, just different stages, and
That's for personal, I mean...
That's for recreational use, yes.
Yeah. And it can't be visible. If you drive by my house, you can't see it from the... I'm not allowed. It can't be visible from the road, basically, from a public way. So if you do have it in your yard, you have to put a fence around it.
So personal recreational use is currently, well, like we said, is currently legal. And as well as medicinal use.
Yes.
Which was prior to that, personal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which was already legal.
But,
The interesting thing is that it's not recognized by the federal laws.
Correct.
So they can arrest you or take whatever you've got, and it's... they have to have a really good reason.
Yeah,
because they won't piddle around with small stuff. But.
I wonder how Colorado and other places have dealt with that.
I should, because that's a big horse.
Well, you have a lot of people crossing state lines and this and that and stuff. That gets a little problematic for someone.
Isn't this a boon in Colorado? I mean, you haven't.
It depends on who you ask.
Oh, yeah.
The people that were in favor of it think it's the best thing since sliced bread, and the people that were opposed to it think that it's caused extreme hardship on the state.
I haven't seen that economically from the state by any means.
The jury's still
same
out
with Washington,
on driving after using marijuana. Yeah, they haven't come up with some sort of a way to
test.
They're supposedly working on it, but
can you be smoking marijuana and still walk the line? Is that
I don't know. They probably do it dancing and singing.
Well, I don't think there's a way to test a blood alcohol level. I don't know if there's a legitimate or a recognized.
Well, because they'll be a truck driver. Or construction worker.
Well, I've been drug tested, and you know, hundreds of times every plant I go into, but it doesn't. It just says that it's there. It doesn't tell. Okay, last night you had six too many. So what?
I don't know if they have a THC level indicator.
I don't think they do.
I think we have more questions than we do answers at this point, don't you?
Well, I don't know that they're going to go away anytime soon, unless we just keep working at it. So.
Is there any additional information that we can bring to the board to help you make your decision?
Yeah, I mean, where do you get it, though?
It depends what you want, what information you need.
Everything. Yeah.
If you're looking
for... You can always go online and find out what's going on in some of the other states where it's already legal. And
if
how
you're interested in getting comments from the citizens, that's way to do that. It's a whole public hearing.
Sure.
That could be interesting.
It's really the silent majority never really comes out.
But this majority would. I mean, there's a guy that lives, building a house near me, almost packed up and left just because it was enacted in Colorado. He almost drove to Colorado just so he could live and smoke dope. And you know, all the power to him, but there are people that are very passionate about this subject.
Oh, yeah.
On both sides.
Yeah. Some people
here with the public might also be a learning experience for you too. You might hear things that.
Yeah.
From my point of view, probably we're going to have more than one.
That may be
over the next year.
I think it would be beneficial
I'd schedule one and see what kind of
Let's do that.
See who shows up.
Chris, what do you think?
I'd rather wait to talk about it.
Not ready to form an opinion.
Well, I've got opinions. The only opinion I would say is I don't know why you want to put yourself into this mess. I would let the council decide what they want to do and then come to us afterwards and ask us. I don't think this is where I want to put myself in the middle of anything and provide them what I consider cover. But they've already pretty much, I think, made up their mind anyhow what they're going to do. So I'm really not sure that this is something we need to be discussing now or even taking up until the state makes a decision and let the council decide from there. I'm not sure that we're going to sway any council opinions on what we decide.
And it's not going anywhere in the comprehensive plan, right? So,
that's what I think.
Yes.
Okay. I just respectfully disagree with Jeff that we need to do this now. I don't think we need to do this now. I don't see any advantage for anything to do this at this time.
Well, if the council sets up a public hearing and invites the planning board to it specifically, then that might be better too.
The planning, they can do whatever they so
choose. Right. But you're right. I think they have to take the lead. We're just a board. We are not really empowered to do their duties.
Well, I think the difference between the council and us, they can seek to ban it outright. We would have to do it through land use. I mean, our perspective is land use.
Correct.
And what's allowable within land use parameters, if you will, where the town can just deal with legality of
the outright ban itself. It, I mean, doesn't really affect us.
If the town decides to ban it, then it would not be part of our land use ordinances at that point. But I guess until they do that, personally, I'd like to learn as much as I can because I like to be more informed as we come to a point of having to make some sort of decision. If we do, I'd just as soon have as much knowledge behind me as possible.
And that's also advisable, too, for the town council, which is one of the reasons why I initiated this discussion at this stage of the game, because the more informed everybody is about what this can do in this town or what it can't do, the better you're able to make the right decision. So having this discussion now, I don't think is a wrong thing to do. I understand Chris's position, but I don't think it's wrong to talk about these things.
No.
And to hear from the public what they think about these things, because it makes us all better informed about, if this is a good fit for Bucksport.
And if the town council should decide to ban it, what should happen, what happens if an election comes and there's a different council and they decide to enact it? Maybe we should have it in the land use somewhere, where we restrict it to a certain area and ban it if you wish, but if you ever allow it, we've already got something in place where, much like the area, the towns where I've been, where they have adult entertainment in zones that really don't even exist anymore.
At some point in time, this board is going to be involved in drafting an ordinance that either says we want these and this is where we want them, or we don't.
Right.
The ordinance has to say one way or the other.
Yeah.
And this board is responsible for drafting that ordinance.
But who can override us as far as that ordinance goes? The ordinance committee?
Well, the any ordinance that you write is subject to town council approval. It doesn't become effective until the town council says it's acceptable. So, you are the land use group. You're responsible for regulating land uses in the town of Bucksport. And this is a land use, several land uses.
If town council can override our decision.
It's their discretion, right? They have the final say. They can accept your recommendation or not.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They've done both.
Yep. Let's see. This is what, March, April, mm-hmm. May. It may be a good time to have a.
Be sure. People will be sure. Already have some plants in the ground. And no, that'd be yeah, sure.
I'm just saying, yeah, yeah. Good weather, you know.
Yeah.
You might get a good turnout.
Yeah. I bet you'd have quite the crowd for that.
Do you think we should do it in April? That might be a little early.
Yeah. No, that's fine. May sounds good.
I would move that we do schedule a public hearing just to test the waters. Month of May.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor? Opposed?
All right, so item B is a review of land uses allowed in the Industry Development District. This is on the agenda because we have a large piece of property up the street here that's in the Industry Development District that is in the process of being cleared and made ready for redevelopment. Right now, that property is limited to a few types of uses, primarily industrial uses, and I have for you to look at. I extracted from our land use ordinance all the uses that are allowed. 2, 3, 4, 5, some more. So this handout includes both a little explanation about how you can regulate uses in a district where some uses may not be allowed. And that's the first two pages, and then the rest of the pages are the uses that are currently allowed in the Industry Development District and the Industry Development Shoreland Overlay District. There's two districts that apply here. The first two pages, I just want to explain why I've given this to you. This is an explanation from an attorney at MMA about contract zoning and conditional use zoning. We have contract zoning provisions in our land use ordinance now, and that's essentially it's a mechanism whereby a use that's not otherwise allowed in a zoning district is allowed by agreement. Essentially, it's a written contract between parties, and those parties are the property owner and the town. We have done that twice so far. That's a tool that can be used for a use that comes up for the Industry Development District that's not currently an allowed use. It's a little more involved than the other method, which is conditional use zoning. Contract zoning requires planning board approval and town council approval, and if it's in the shoreland zone part of that lot, it requires DEP approval as well.
Question: If either party sells or changes the property, the person that would sell the property, can that contract be changed or broken if
it's sold? The language in the contract is written so that it runs with the property. You know, the mm-hmm. subsequent owners would have to abide by the same contract, unless they chose to do something different. But yeah. The use that was allowed through that contract could be continued regardless of who actually is doing the use.
Yeah.
That's the way our contracts are written now.
But if I was just thinking of Larry Wall's house out on Route 1,
mm-hmm.
and it's between the just past McDonald's, and he didn't have enough land to split the property. He was lacking some waterfront footage. It was very few feet.
But it wasn't Larry Wall's property, was it?
Yeah. was, the contract was between Larry and the town, I guess.
Yeah, so that contract still exists.
Even
though the property's not being used right now for the use that was recognized in that contract. So it's still there. It hasn't gone away.
That the land trust...
It was... Well, the contract zone was to allow bittersweets,
right,
to locate in that building.
But I can remember talking to Larry, and Larry was concerned that he could never change the use of the property after once it was set, you know, agreed upon.
No, that's not the way the contract's written, David. The contract does allow you to do another land use, mm-hmm, provided that that land use complies with the applicable requirements, the dimensional standards. That was the issue with putting bittersweets in there, because it was a single family dwelling before.
Right.
So we're going from residential to commercial, which required more dimensional standards to be met, and that property, yeah, that lot couldn't do it. So that's why we use contract zoning, which, by the way, is not the correct way to use contract zoning. That really should have been dealt with through dimensional variance. Board of Appeals should have handled that. But
could he do that now? Could he change that? Go back to the Board of Appeals.
To do what?
To change. To split it as he at one time had wanted to do. He wanted to have the waterfront as residential and the property of the house.
It's hard, Dave, to talk about that without actually having more information in front of me. I'd rather not answer that question right now.
I guess the only I'm not talking about specifically. I'm just using that as a known thing that we've done. All I'm asking is, can it be changed? In any instance.
Yeah, the contract zoning doesn't essentially create a use that you're stuck with forever.
Okay.
You can change it. Yeah. The other tool, though, that we don't address right now in ordinance, which this board might want to consider doing, is conditional uses. And that the contract zone affects one property. One person, one owner is affected by that contract zone. Conditional uses are identified in your land use ordinance that affect zone-wide. You know, so, for example, we've had entity that wanted to establish an educational use, a training facility at the mill property. That's not currently allowed in the heavy industry district. If the ordinance recognized that type of use as a conditional use, then it would be possible to have that use, provided that whatever conditions were set forth in the ordinance could be met. Mm-hmm. You can do that with any kind of use you want. It could be residential, it could be another type of commercial use, educational uses. So that's a tool that we can put in our ordinance if you think that's an easier way to deal with changes in a zone that wouldn't otherwise be possible.
I just think there's going to be instances, and we should be user-friendly in making it easier. If it can't be done, that's one thing, but to make sure that we're a helper as far as...
Right. So the reason why I gave you the tables here is to show you what uses are now possible in these districts. And there are several of, you know, others that fall outside the industry category. For example, we have several municipal category uses that are allowed, like public safety facilities, public transportation facilities, public works, wastewater treatment, water works facilities. Those are all municipal uses that are currently allowed in the IG district. Production category uses include aquaculture, commercial fisheries, manufacturing facilities, metallic mineral mining, salvage yards. Those are uses that are currently allowed in that district. Rural uses, that category, there aren't too many. It only talks about timber harvests that are allowed. Site work land uses, there are a bunch of those. These are all minor uses that really allow just about everywhere. Trade uses is another one. In this category, you can do off-site service businesses. that's just about it. Trade. So there are a few non-industry land uses that are allowable. The question is, do you want to go more than that? Educational uses, for example. Do you want to allow the consideration, of, anyway, of an educational land use in that district? And if so, how do you want to do that? Through contract zoning or conditional use zoning?
Well, conditional use opens it up to whatever you want. Whoever's interested in getting on that property.
Well, the difference, as I said, now, conditional use is you identify in your ordinance what uses you think should be allowed through that process. Whereas contract zoning, you don't identify the uses. You take it as they come. And then you write a contract to allow that use.
But haven't we been scolded for using contract zoning a little too freely?
Well, it's because we've been using it as a way to get around variances. Right. And it just so happens that both those contract zones we've done were in shoreland areas, so DEP had to weigh in on that, and they're the ones that were telling us that that's not the best way to deal with this, guys. The Board of Appeals is the one is the way you need to deal with those types of uses. So if you want to take some time, I think I gave you this handout just this tonight, so if you want to take some time to study that and the tables that I gave you, and we can talk some more about this in the next meeting about which direction you'd like to take.
Can conditional zoning be a portion of a particular zone?
You can spell it out any way you want to in your ordinance. And keep in mind, if you're talking now about allowing some uses conditionally in the industry development district, it's not just the mill property we're speaking of. You know, there's property across the street that's in the same district as well.
But theoretically, it could be anywhere in town. Once we have that in the ordinance, that gives us the flexibility throughout town to have that conditional discussion, right? In any zone.
But you're spelling out the ordinance which uses could be considered under conditional approval.
In certain zones or town?
Yes, you would identify what zone conditional uses are allowed, what those conditional uses are, and what the conditions of approval are for that use. So there's something else, there's quite a bit to it.
Yeah.
Well, it's hard to be a fortune teller.
Right.
You know, this is kind of nuts. You don't know what's coming down the road, and I don't.
And that's where contract zoning comes in. Contract zoning is the tool you use in that case. You don't, you know, you whatever comes down the road, if it doesn't fit your ordinance, you do.
I'm not going to tell anybody they can't build up.
You can do one of two things. You can change your ordinance to make a prohibited use an allowed use in whatever zone you're talking about. Or you can apply the contract zoning tool and deal with it on a case-by-case basis. That's the tool we have right now to use. If, like, for example, an educational use right now is not an allowed use in the industry development district.
So if
there was an academy going on over there
and build a building over there, that's an educational use. Right?
I'm sorry, George, I couldn't.
If the academy wants to build a building over there, then that's not allowed use right now. It's an academic building. Because I would think anything that our academy would be putting over there would be considered academic.
Tax exempt.
Well, the twist here is that there's a building right now on the mill site that was used for an employee development. It's a training facility for mill employees. So technically we have, all the buildings around it are gone now. We have this one building left that had a use in it that stands pretty much by itself right now. It's a training building.
It's a
non-conforming use now. When the mill was there, it was accessory use to the mill. It's part of the mill. The mill's gone now, so we have that one building that has that identification attached to it still.
It's
a non-conforming use that is allowed to continue. So if it did turn out that there's an entity that wanted to use that for that purpose, it might be permittable without any contract zoning or conditional use needed. But I'm talking about not just educational uses. There are other uses that might come down the pike. Say, we'd like to locate on this property. It's a big piece of property. But we don't want to tell them, sorry, you can't, because our ordinance said you can't do it. You know, there needs to be a way to provide for the use if this board and the town council, the citizens of the town, feel that's a use that would fit on that property. So this discussion right now is just to have you start thinking about whether or not we want to add more to our ordinance to make it easier for, make more flexible to deal with uses that you don't think anybody would want to put in an MML site, but you know, someday somebody knocks on our door and says, I'd like to do this. And it sounds like a great idea. You open up the ordinance, you know, the ordinance either doesn't recognize it at all,
yeah,
or it says you can't do it. So we don't want to find ourselves in that corner.
All right.
Good question. On the conditional use, I understand about the necessity to make sure that we address every particular zoning, the zone location, whether it's R1 or any of those. We'd have to have a structure in place for each one of those if we went with a conditional zoning change. Is that what you're saying? In other words, if we're going to do it, we have to do it for the entire the entire land use table. We just couldn't say, well, in the industrial site, we'll have conditional zoning, but we won't have it until we need it in the others. In other words, for me, as I look at this, and I'm wondering, you know, how long can we keep delaying this, and is it going to affect whatever happens down there? Would it be better to move this forward and get this established at least in that zone on a conditional basis, or do we have to right away do the entire town?
I don't think it's necessary at any time to have conditional zoning town-wide. I mean, if you think there are uses that might be appropriate, say in the village district, that are not allowed now, you can add conditional uses there too, but I don't think we need to take that comprehensive approach immediately. We can deal with the industry development district right now and then branch out. That's a tool we want to have in other districts at our disposal.
I misunderstood what you said earlier.
I'm not about to tie his hands. I'm not. Whatever wants to come in there, fine.
Well, it's simple to say, Ed, but we have to follow our ordinance. You know, the ordinance does matter.
I just think it would be great for me, as I look at this, to provide as much flexibility as possible, as soon as possible for that site.
So, do we have to actually identify uses?
No.
Because
we don't know.
Like Ed said, how do you know what uses are out there that we don't have included?
There's a million new ones every day.
And could the conditional zoning be just conditions that have to be met by some unknown use? Does that make sense? If someone just shows up and say, I can't think of a company.
What would be beyond industrial, commercial, or residential? Educational, I guess.
You have several broad categories of land uses in your ordinance, and each of those categories contains a bunch of individual or subcategories,
yeah.
I guess. But you don't need to be that detailed. You can simply say, as conditional use, for example, educational uses should be allowed under conditional use provisions in the industry development district, and then establish some broad conditions that need to be met. Just an educational use, whether it's a private school or public school or university, they all have similar characteristics. So you don't need to be detailed about the uses you want to allow conditionally.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Right. So medical facilities, are they included in institutional?
Say it again.
Medical, would that be included in institutional, or is that another broad category?
That's under healthcare uses.
So that would have to be added as a conditional use?
If you wanted to look at it broadly, yes, you simply say healthcare uses are allowed in the industry development district subject to these conditions. So.
But healthcare, would that include drug manufacturing? Or is it just hospitals and health services facility? How fine do these get split up?
To whatever level of detail you want to get, that you think is necessary to have in the ordinance to ensure that the uses in a district aren't going to present a problem.
I guess you're better off with broad categories, I would think, than to more flexibility.
Right.
More flexibility, as you were saying, than broad categories.
Yes.
So that's all I have for you this evening. We'll take a look at the table of uses. Familiarize yourself with what uses are currently allowed in the industry development district, and maybe come up with some suggestions for the next meeting as to what additional uses you think should be allowed.
Okay.
We wait another month. It's an unfair question. Does economic development director believe that will impact your job in any way?
The training facility, the group that's proposing the training facility, has their board meeting March 16th. It was postponed in February to March. I may or may not have an answer about that particular use, which is currently not allowed.
Even with the Cogen, the power plant's already there. Those aren't considered industrial usage and would still be an appendage to those, even though the mayor's not there.
Well, recently, if I remember correctly, the code enforcement and town manager met with the property owner and helped to rezone, am I saying this right, rezone the existing power plants, the property lines for the Cogen and for the mill itself.
But that was part of the shoreline zoning.
It's not rezoning. So they split the...
They put a demarcation out there.
They actually divided the property.
Right. Yes.
Right.
So there's a small parcel now that has the power plants on it now. That's owned by Bucksport Generation, LLC. And the remaining portion of the lot is owned by Bucksport Mills, LLC.
And this building is on which one now?
Bucksport Mills.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that excludes the power generator.
Okay, I got it. I got it.
So it's a relatively small parcel, considering that that encompasses the cogen plant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty much just not much.
Where it's at?
Not much more than the footprint that it's on.
So if another month went by, do you anticipate any impact? Is that a fair question? You don't have to answer it if you...
No, because the Maine Maritime Academy has not considered this to be an issue at this point. Neither has the mill. However, this point was raised at the first EPA grant meeting we held here. The town of Bucksport received a $200,000 grant through the EPA with Eastern Maine Development Corporation and AIM Development. And zoning was asked at that meeting, and it was told to the group that it was coming up at this committee meeting. Our next meeting, I believe you will meet again before we even have our next meeting with that grant, because that grant does not take effect until April 1st. That's a planning and development grant, and we will be having meetings with the citizens of the town to determine what they would like to see potentially go on that property, even though the property is still owned by AIM Development. It's a way to get community involvement, and those notices will be going out. So to answer your question directly, no, it will not impact it.
Our next meeting here for the planning board is April 4th. You're saying that the one you're talking about will be April 1st?
That's when the grant takes effect.
Okay.
We won't meet until after that time frame.
Okay. If I may, Mr. Chairman, ask, do you have any thoughts about opening that up the potential for residential units as an option, whether that attracts or detracts from the development opportunity. Do we make it as flexible as possible, and how does that affect? Would people feel insecure about that possibility?
The current property owner has let us know in private meetings that the other sites, which they own, which have not been developed, was due to the fact that those towns changed the zoning in the middle of the construction from industry to residential. Those sites have not been redeveloped, and those towns are not working with that corporation. We have a very good working relationship with this corporation at this point. At this grant meeting, the question about residential came up and was not looked upon favorably. So it may come up in one of these community discussions. At this point right now, I think we're looking at the fact that everyone recognizes this site as an industrial site. The quicker it comes down, the quicker it can get redeveloped. It won't be far from everybody's minds that it was.
I'm just curious as to how that... I don't understand. I understand what you just said. I just am curious. So is there the... I'm thinking about Sartell's specifically. Mm-hmm. Was that... making that a zone, an opportunity for residential, is viewed as a punitive action in an effort to keep it from being redeveloped into an industrial site? Is that what the general tenor of what's going on there?
From what I gather, I only get one side of the story. I don't get both sides, just what you read in the paper and what you hear from the parties involved.
Right. And I wasn't looking at it that way. I was just looking at it as a possibility for as much flexibility as possible in there, not as a punitive or as an attempt to block or prevent. It was like, here, why don't we throw this out there as well and just see if that would be a possibility. But evidently they might view that as being less than...
Well, I think maybe if you just say... we only want residential, they may see that as a blocking point, but leaving the opportunity for them to possibly open it up to residential.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, because don't forget, there's an abutting property owned currently by Sprague, the Sprague North property, the former coal pocket. That site is now up for sale as well, and we are working
with that. That's an industrial site.
That's too. Also an industrial site as well.
That's still not a good site.
Correct.
Well, you know, I'm just thinking we could sit at an empty site for 20 years or 30 years because nobody wanted to put a industrial or a residential or a commercial in there. Whereas if we give somebody the opportunity to put a residence in there, we could have it filled in 10 years and start generating tax dollars. Now, obviously, the issue of jobs are there. But I'm just saying, you know, why wouldn't they want that flexibility is beyond me. I guess I don't understand the process of that at all. So I just wanted to bring it up. Thank you.
Well, in this case, we've got sea traffic, rail traffic, and highway traffic all right there. You haven't got a better opportunity for industry. And industry knows it, too.
You don't need to sell me on it.
Right.
Okay. Well, I'm just trying to say I'd like to give them the flexibility of having that opportunity. That's all. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You take the train to Bucksport from your front porch. I mean, Bangor.
Yeah.
Going to get passenger service back, right?
Thank you very much.
Yes, welcome.
Just... go ahead. I can guess, Jeff. Jeff, what's procedurally what's involved in conditional zoning or making it part of the zone? I'm just thinking time frame that would be involved in to make it legitimate.
You have an ordinance drafted that you review. You hold a public hearing on that ordinance. Then you make your recommendation to the town council. They either immediately schedule a public hearing or they refer your recommendation to their ordinance committee. If they did that, then the ordinance committee meets and reviews it and makes their recommendation back to the town council. Then they'd hold a public hearing and after the public hearing make a decision on the ordinance. So it does take a few months.
So optimistically, probably 6 months before it would could actually be in effect.
It depends on how long you take to come up with a draft that you're happy with, and then how long the council takes to study it. To do it quickly, I'd say 1 month you are reviewing a draft, and then at the same meeting you schedule a public hearing to be held the next month. So the second month you hold your public hearing, and after that, assuming everything goes okay, you approve the ordinance to make your recommendation. Depending on the timing, it could go to the council that same month. And if they're comfortable with it, they would immediately schedule their public hearing to be held in the third month. So it could be as quick as a three-month process, or it could be twice as long. I guess it depends on how things go. I don't think it could be done any sooner than 3 months.
But the fact that we're working on it probably would kind of meet the expectation of anybody looking to develop or looking at the possible zoning or what's going to be included in that zone.
Yes. What would be quicker, contract, or if it came down to a we need to know so we can start whatever project they need to do, would it be contract or would it be conditional?
If you had conditional use provisions in your ordinance, the only body that needs to deal with it is this body. Mm-hmm. The council does not need to get involved. Contract zoning does require council, so you're looking, the contract zoning process could take about 3 months too, because you have to hold a public hearing, and then the council also has to hold a public hearing. And then if it's in shoreline zoning, we have to get DEP involved. So contract zoning is more lengthy than conditional use process, but you still have to, you'll have to get the language in your ordinance, and that's
would it make sense, Jeff, for you to rough out something and send it to us for consideration before next meeting?
For conditional uses?
For conditional uses on that property, and maybe we could schedule a public hearing next meeting.